You're listening to David Matto Radio.
Welcome to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. This is the show that teaches you how to become stronger, thinner, healthier, happier, and much more. Now, here's your host, Dr. David Matto.
Welcome to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. I'm Dr. D, the V, and this is actually the last episode of 2016. It's amazing how quickly the time goes. I mean, I've been podcasting, I've been doing this show for close to 3.5 years now, and it's like you blink your eyes and the time is gone. It's unbelievable. It's a show where I help you live stronger, thinner, healthier, and happier. And I'm so glad to be here on the last show of the day. The last show of the year. And if you're brand new to me, I welcome you. And we've got a lot of great things ahead in 2017 and beyond. If you've been with me from the beginning or somewhere in between, thanks so much. I really appreciate you. And I hope I've inspired you in some way, even if it's in some little way, to just live your life purposefully and much better than you ever have before. I'm going to recap and just share with you some really cool things that I've learned and I've done and that I continue to do, but that I've learned and done in 2016 and that I will continue to do into 17 and hopefully beyond. When I look back at the year, one of the coolest things I started doing, and it just kind of was on a whim. I didn't really plan this out, but I started doing these hippie road trips. And I actually did three of them. I believe three. Pretty sure it was three of them in 2016. And the way I started doing these was I travel a lot all over North America to speak. I'm on stage and I'm speaking, and in the past, I would always fly everywhere I went. And, you know, it was pretty cool to do that. But airports get old. They're crowded. They're horrible. I just don't like them anymore, really. They're kind of a necessary evil because, let's face it, I'm traveling from the East Coast and I'm traveling to Denver. Or I'm traveling to San Francisco or Florida. You know, you pretty much have to jump on a plane. It's not really simple to get into a car and drive to that type of city from the East Coast. But what I tried to do was I had a speaking gig. I think it was sometime in the spring . I had a speaking gig in Phoenix, Arizona. And about a week later, maybe 5 or 6 days later, I had a speaking gig in, Little Rock, Arkansas, I think. And I had this crazy idea that I was going to spend the several days in between these two speaking gigs. And I was going to, instead of getting on a plane, I was going to drive from Phoenix, Arizona to Little Rock, Arkansas. And I did. And it was one of the coolest things I have ever done in my life. I was alone in my car, and I still remember this. The first day I drove to Grand Canyon and did a nice day hike in the Grand Canyon. It was wild. I slept in Flagstaff that evening. The next day I drove to New Mexico and spent some time there. On to, where did I go after that? Somewhere, I think it was Texas. After New Mexico, I went to Texas, through Oklahoma City, into Little Rock, Arkansas. I don't know if I skipped any places or not, but it was a blast. I learned a lot. What did I learn? I mean, what did I learn? What can you learn from a road trip? I learned a lot. First of all, I learned that most people are really good people. And in the past, I always thought truckers were a group of people that were just kind of like they were racing to get from one location to the other. They were inconsiderate. But I learned a lot about truckers on this trip. And let me tell you something. Truckers are some pretty cool people. And they're working hard for a living out there. And they've got to get from one location to the next. But they do it with a really good, sincere, considerate attitude. I loved it. And I learned a lot, and I stopped at truck stops, and I stopped at different types of restaurants, and I learned that almost any restaurant, wherever you go, almost any restaurant will cater to somebody that eats plant-based, vegan. I stopped at some good Mexican places. It's easy to find. It's easy to also shop when you're on the road and just keep stuff in the back of your car and eat on the road, which I did. I eat healthy food the whole way. I stopped when I could. I got a speeding ticket. Where was I? I was in Oklahoma somewhere. Got a speeding ticket. I guess that was on Interstate 40 somewhere. I paid it. It's okay. The policeman's out there doing his job. He was extremely polite. I was speeding. I was breaking the law. And I paid the ticket with gratitude, actually. I did. And I learned something else on the trip. I had a lot of time to think. And that was back in the time that I was doing a lot of Periscope broadcasting while I was driving, which I learned is not a really good idea, because when I'm driving, I've got to really be paying attention to the road. I don't want to jeopardize my life or anybody else's life on the road. So I actually stopped doing live stream video, and you can understand why. I stopped doing live stream video while I was driving. It just is not a good idea. It's really not. But I learned one thing. I learned a lot of things, but this is another thing I learned on the hippie road trip, at least the hippie road trip number one. I learned that, and I published this and I talked about it, and I talked about it in a previous podcast episode. I learned to kind of get the motherfuckers out of my life. And it became my term, but I honestly don't mean that in a bad way. It's horrible as that sounds. I don't mean it in a negative, bad, harmful way to anybody, but I just learned that life is short and there's only so much time we have. So why spend it with people that you don't feel like you're vibrating on the same frequency with? That does not mean they're bad people. They could be very good people, but if you just feel like you're not vibrating together on the same frequency, you know exactly what I'm talking about. There are people like that in your life, I guarantee it. People that they walk into the same room as you are, and you don't have anything against them, but you just don't feel the love. You don't feel the vibration. You don't feel the connection. And why waste your time with these people when there are probably plenty of people in your life that you feel a serious connection with? Stick with those people. Now, I'm not saying you shouldn't meet new people along the way. Of course you shouldn't. I'm always meeting new people. But let's face it, life is you know, you don't have a whole lot of time when you really look at it. And there's just only so many people you can spend your time with. And I choose to spend my time with the people that I feel connected with, the people that I feel love for. Special people in my life. That's who I choose to hang with. And when I learned to get the MFs out of my life, it freed up just a tremendous amount of my time. I don't spend time with them in real life anymore. I don't spend time with them on social media. It just frees up a ton of time to do what I want, even if it means sitting down and reading a book or studying something or doing something, working on some goals. It does. And I took two subsequent hippie road trips after the first one. Both of them actually led me up to the northern part of the U.S. and into Canada. Both of them did, through Buffalo into Ontario. I had two speaking gigs. One was in Toronto, Ontario, and the other was in London, Ontario. Two beautiful places. And when you actually get in your car and you drive and you look at the scenery and you see what's going on around you, you look at the rivers and the mountains and the beauty, it's just, it opened up a whole new world for me. It really did. So I guess I'm going to say to you, if you have a chance to do something like a hippie road trip, if there's a possibility of getting in a car as opposed to jumping on a plane, going through security and dealing with all these crazies and it's crowded and it's loud, I would get in the car. Try it. Some of you have asked me if I have any hippie road trips planned for 2017, and I think I do. That was not definite, was it? I think I do. I think what I'm going to do, so I'm speaking in, it looks like I'm speaking in Memphis, Tennessee. I think it's somewhere around the beginning of March, I want to say. I don't have an exact date in front of me, but from what I can remember, it's somewhere around the beginning of March. So I think what I'm going to do, now it's quite a way, it's a good, it goes Memphis, Tennessee from where I live. I can't remember. Is it a good 9 hours, 10? It's a long drive, 9-10 hour drive, something like that. It's not just right around the corner. So what I think I'm going to do, my plans are I'm going to make a hippie road trip out of it, but I'm going to only make a hippie road trip on the front end of my speaking. So what I'm going to do, I'll take two or three days to drive to Memphis, and then I'll, you know, take my time along the way. I looked already on a map. Maybe I can head into... I've never been to Asheville, North Carolina, so I might head there and see what that's all about. People have told me it's a great place, especially if you're vegan. It's just a really cool city, and I've never been there, actually. So I might do that along the way. And then after I finish speaking, and then I would just jump on a plane and come back. So it would be kind of like, it would be a hippie road trip, but kind of like half a hippie road trip, so I'm only going one way, which I think is cool. I think that would be all right. So that's what I've planned. I've had some other speaking gigs during the year, and we'll see if we can make them into hippie road trips. I have one right afterwards, which is in South Florida, which I think is just, I just don't want to drive that far. It's too far for me to drive there and then turn around and come back, or even drive halfway. South Florida is very far from where I live, so I may not do that one, but we'll see. I've got some other ones, and we're taking a look at the at calendar and the maps, and we're going to figure some things out, because I'll do more than one hippie road trip in 2017 for sure. Something I look forward to at the end of this year, and probably I'm going to be doing it right around the time you're hearing this, or maybe a couple days later, right close to the new year. My wife Yoko and I, for the past many years, have had a little ritual, and I'm going to really recommend you do this, whether you're, you know, whether you have a spouse or whether you are by yourself. It doesn't really matter. This is something that's really cool to do around the new year. We do it typically around New Year's Eve. And what we do, we sit down, generally we go to a restaurant, and it does not have to be a fancy restaurant. We don't really do fancy anymore. There's no need to. We were just talking about that the other day. There's no need to do fancy. We have a few places that we just love to go to. They're really low-key, informal places, and we could just hang there, and we could just eat some good food, maybe drink a little bit. And so what we do typically around New Year's Eve every year is we work on our goals for the following year. We sit down and we write down what we want to accomplish over the next year and even beyond. And the interesting thing is we'll always go over the goals that we had for the previous year. So in other words, somewhere around New Year's Eve this year, we will sit down and not only will we work on our goals for 2017, but we'll look to see how we did in 2016. And interestingly enough, I just found my book of goals. It's just a little handbook. It could fit in my pocket that we had. And we started this back in, Yoko and I started this together. I mean, I've been doing goals for 25 years or so by myself, but we started to have like joint goals as well for both of us. We started probably back around 2010 or 11, something like that. And I just, out of curiosity, I pulled out my book that we started in 2010. I started looking at all the goals we wrote down for that year. And it's really pretty cool, but practically everything we wrote has become reality. A lot of them were financial goals, becoming debt-free back then, paying off our house, doing things like that, investing a certain amount per month. Those all came true. A lot of them were travel goals and physical fitness type things, doing certain races, doing certain backpack trips. We had a lot of things. And the interesting thing is, just about everything came true. And not only that, the ones that did not become reality. Now, I don't want to tell you that every single thing I write down becomes true, because it's not. It's, you know, but mostly they do. Mostly they do. But it's interesting, because the ones that did not become reality, the ones that didn't come true, were just things that we put down there that we just didn't push for. So, for example, we listed some places that we wanted to travel to over the next couple years or so. And, for example, one was Vietnam and one was Thailand. Now, we didn't get to those places. And truth be told, we didn't push for those because, as you know, I do a lot of traveling anyway for work and outside of work. And we just, you know, we did some trips to Japan because Yoko's from there. We did a couple trips to Hawaii because we did some marathons there. And Yoko's parents, it's about halfway point between where we live and where Yoko's parents live in Japan. So we did what we wanted to do, but we didn't get everything done. It just would have been a physical impossibility and probably a financial impossibility to get everything done. But it was really pretty cool reading through these goals from like 2000, starting in 2010 or 2000, yeah, I think 2010, 2011, because I look back to see like where we were then and how far we've come and how far we've progressed and what we've done and what we've accomplished. And it was really great because we accomplished so many things because we wrote them down and read them on a regular basis. Now, I've got my own list of goals. It might be confusing to you because it's funny. I started out doing goals, as you know, probably about 25 years ago, and I have my own set of goals personally that I keep with me wherever I am. They're either in my back pocket or in my backpack. It's a small little notebook, and I read those every day. Okay, so I read those every day, but the goals that Yoko and I write up, we write them up around New Year's Eve. We read them periodically, but not every single day. And they kind of sit on a bookshelf in our main room, kind of like in our office where we have like our house is like it's like kind of one big room on the first floor. It's like the one big room is like it's made up of a kitchen, a den where we have a TV and a sofa, and also kind of like we call it our office because we have our computers there. So if you ever come to my house, you'll see what I mean. But it's kind of like an open floor plan. It's like one big room. So I keep the list of goals right there. We can see it anytime. Either one of us can pull it off the bookshelf and read it. But I say periodically what we'll do throughout the year after we write them up, we will review them and we'll check them off as they become reality. And as I said, they just about always do unless we just don't push hard enough. So that's a big thing. So I'm going to highly recommend you, if you haven't started yet, if there's something you want to do in life, and there's got to be things that you want to do. Now, maybe it could be anything. I mean, it might be weight loss. It could be anything. There might be some particular person you want to meet or a place you want to travel to or a car you want to get. I'm just making these up. It could be anything at all, but I'm going to highly recommend you write these down. And New Year's Eve or somewhere right around New Year's, you could do it New Year's Day or somewhere right around the beginning of the year I found just a great time every year to know that every single year at that time, you're going to not only review your goals from the previous year, but come up with new ones. And it's worked so well for me and Yoko. I'm going to highly, highly recommend that. So, okay, I'm trying to think, what else have I gotten out of 2016? Well, I had a bad injury. I've learned. You remember that one? My bad injury, which I fell. I took a bad fall in Japan skiing very early 2016, like in January 2016. And it took months. It took a good part of the year. It took a long time before it healed up. And I still feel even a little bit, even though it's been like almost a year right now. So I learned, hey, I'm 61 years old now. I don't heal as fast as I did when I was 11 years old. So I got to be careful. I can't take as many crazy chances as I used to. So yeah, so I keep that in mind. I mean, that doesn't mean that I don't do things. When we go skiing, surely we go to Breckenridge, Colorado every winter. You know, we'll be there in January and February. You know, I'm going to ski some good stuff and some hard stuff. But I'd say a little bit more careful than I was when I was much younger, because if I take a fall and it's a bad fall, it could hurt for a long time. And I don't want that. I was in bad shape, as you remember. I mean, I had a tough time sleeping and I had a tough time getting around. And it was even on my hippie road trip one, which was in the spring, I remember it was hurting. It was tough. So I'm going to be, one of my goals is to be just a little bit more careful in 2017. Just be careful. Just don't take crazy chances. You can still have fun, But just don't take crazy chances. And I don't think I took a crazy chance when I fell in Japan. We were just, it was the first day though. I was on rental skis, which I don't like to rent skis. I like to use my own. So it was rental skis, and we were skiing through some deep powder that I just wasn't really familiar with. And I think we were skiing in and out of some trees a little bit, and I just took a fall, and you know, and I heard snap, and that was it. Wham. I was like crying. So that's one of my goals is, okay, Dave, don't take chances like that. Just be careful. Be careful. So what are some of your goals? What are you going to do? What are you going to do in 2017 to make it your best year ever? Have you thought about it? What are you going to do? Think about it. We have the potential. I mean, there's a new president coming in, and whether you voted for him or not, just things are going to be changing, and I hope they're really changing for the better. I really, really hope our country and even the world is going to change for the better. I don't know what's ahead. I have no idea. But I'm going into this with a positive attitude. There have been so many people that have been pissed off and angry and screaming. But I'm going into this with a positive attitude. And I'm going to say, I'm going to make 2017 the best year of my life so far. I'm going to spend more time with my parents who are getting older. They're both in their 80s. My dad is 87. I don't know how much longer they're going to be around. I want to spend some time with them. I want to spend some time with the people I'm close with. I want to spend more time with Yoko. I want to spend more time with my three cats at home. I just want to be with people that I love. I didn't know that might not have come out right. That doesn't mean I just want to be with people, but I want to spend more time. I should say it like that. I want to spend more time with the people that mean so much to me. I want to get down to Florida more, and I want to see my grandchildren. I've got two grandsons now in Florida, and my daughter and my son-in-law, and get over to the West Coast and see my son and my daughter-in-law there. You know, these are the most important things in life. And when we're old and we're at the end of our lives, I don't think anybody's ever been on their, I hate to use the word deathbed. That's kind of like a bleak term, isn't it? But I'm going to say it anyway. I don't think anybody's ever been on their deathbed and said, oh, I wish I would have worked at the office a little bit more. I don't think anybody's ever said that. But one of the most common, what's the word I'm looking for? One of the most common desires, or one of the most common regrets, I should say, regrets, is that somebody approaches the end of their life and they did not spend enough time with the people that were the most important to them. That's one of the most common regrets. And I just don't want to have that kind of regret. So we'll leave it at that. And I'll suggest one more thing to you, and then I'll wish you a very, very happy new year, because this will be the last time I'm talking to you in 2016. The one more thing is, if you have not gone vegan yet, if you have not eliminated animals from your diet, from your life, meaning wearing them, using them for entertainment, things like that, going to the circus, going to the zoo, if you have not eliminated animal products, maybe 2017 is the year that you will say, hey, I'm ready to do this. It's the best thing I have ever done in my life. I feel healthier. I feel more vibrant. I feel younger. I feel better about my life. I feel like I've got like more passion, and just I'm doing the right thing because I'm not contributing to any animals suffering on my watch. And did I tell you I'm healthier? I am. At least I think so. I'm pretty sure. Hey, listen, I want to wish you not only a Merry Christmas, which is already past, I think, as you're listening to this. It just passed probably a day or two ago, right? I'm going to wish you a Merry Christmas. If you're Jewish, Happy Hanukkah. If you're any other religion, whatever you celebrate or not celebrate, it's okay. Whatever you are, whatever you're not, it doesn't matter. I love you. I want to wish you the best year ever in 2017. I'm Dr. Dave, and yeah, I love you. See you next year.
Thanks for listening to the David Matto Lifestyle Show. Please be sure to join us again next week. And remember, you are no longer alone.